Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be cloudy, windy, periods of rain, maybe even some thunder. High of about 53 degrees. Kenosha right now, 50 degrees, 47 in Burlington, 48 Milwaukee, it's 50 in Racine. Our weather's going to be changing for the worse, looks like, the rest of this week and through next weekend, according to AccuWeather's Elliot Abrams.
Where is the snow shovel? What would we do if there was some snow? Do we have salt? You know, the kind of things we get ready for.
Snow this early? Abrams says that's what the models are saying right now. Possibly.
Some of the computer models suggest that after the cold air comes in on Friday and Friday night, that a storm follows almost immediately Saturday and starts to snow. Now, one model says there'd be 10 inches of snow in Chicago.
And he says it's a little too early to really try and pinpoint at this time. It's not snow, perhaps rain that may be coming in with the daytime temperatures going to be in the 40s, even 30s. Lows at night in the 20s, so be prepared. Parents and guardians of students at Kenosha's Tremper High School notified recently one of the students there tested positive for whooping cough. Notification mentioned anybody who came in contact with this particular student would be getting some additional information about being monitored for 3 weeks, which is standard procedure, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Whooping cough, also known as pertussis, starts with a cough and what appears to be just a common cold, but can escalate to more serious coughing, even vomiting. Racine Unified School Board, 5-3 the vote last night, backing employee handbook changes. That despite members of the Racine Education Association claiming a decade of improved relations will disappear and that the board, well, will have its own changes in the elections next April. REA President Jennifer Levy says this is going to lead to conflict.
The district has a healthy reserve of $40 million under this handbook. We have not had a mass exodus of teachers and staff, unlike so many other districts, because of this handbook. We are making progress, so it does not make sense that the Board of Education and the current administration are looking to undermine a handbook that has brought so much growth and stability for our students and our community.
Board member Don Nielsen reminding his colleagues there's a policy on making revisions to the handbook, but it's really not been followed.
It seems to me that we're putting the cart before the horse. If we want to change policies, we should follow our own policy on how to change them. And if we don't want to do that, then we should change that policy, Section 13, first to keep us within policy. You know, it's a slippery slope you go down when you start breaking your own policies and choosing to ignore some over others.
Final vote came for the handbook changes after a 10-minute recess. Board President Melvin Hargrove had called that, citing a disruptive behavior by many of the teachers in the audience. Police were on hand at last night's school board meeting. Kenosha City Council last night decides not to enforce a provision in the state budget, amending to apply only to Kenosha County. It would require the Kenosha Water Utility to make water and sewer connections where adjoining municipalities demand them, not where the utility is recommending they be placed. The general manager of the utility is Ed St. Peter. He told the alderman his department's got a long-range plan for water and sewer services in the city, along with boundary agreements for Summers, Pleasant Prairie, and Bristol. Said the state law would allow those municipalities to simply ignore the agreements, and that the charter ordinance before the council, it evokes the home rule provisions in the state constitution.
There's a law that allows us to do this, that because it's not statewide, that we can say we don't want to follow that state statute.
Alderman David Bogdala, in support of the ordinance in opposition to the state law, said he, quote, smells a lawsuit, unquote, coming in the future. That ordinance was adopted unanimously. The Kenosha man accused of stabbing to death another man at an assisted living facility will undergo a mental competency evaluation. 65-year-old Marcel Kudzin accused of stabbing James Nelson multiple times after he had intervened in a physical confrontation between Kudzin and a woman, apparently over the color of the woman's hair. All three residents of St. James Manor in downtown Kenosha. Kudzin going to be back in court December 1st for a hearing on whether he is mentally competent to assist in his defense. And there was a two-vehicle traffic crash in the western Racine County intersection of Highways 11 and J, the town of Burlington. Both drivers go to Frederick Hospital. The Sheriff's Department says there were serious injuries. This accident involving a grain truck and trailer and a pickup truck. The initial investigation had the pickup driver running a stop sign going into the path of the grain truck. Fire rescue personnel had to extricate the pickup's operator. Then he was airlifted in Flight for Life. Driver of the grain truck transported to the hospital by ambulance. That section of Highway 11 closed to traffic for a few hours due to the investigation and the cleanup. About 20 people, including residents and business owners, got together at Sturtevant's Municipal Building last night to talk about the possible creation of a redevelopment district on Durand Avenue. With the tax incremental district that covers Renaissance Business Park closing next year, Village President Steve Jansen said it's time to look ahead to other projects, calling the Durand Avenue corridor tired and in need of help, as the main street in Sturtevant said there are several challenges, though.
Got some DOT restrictions and things like that, but access and things of that nature that we've got to work through. But, you know, we've got some good starting points to work off of and draw off of and as we move forward into the years to come.
Audience discussion included the observation there's just one controlled intersection safe for pedestrians to cross Durand and concerns about the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. Do not be surprised if there's at least one last-minute attempt to amend the proposed 2016 City of Racine budget at tonight's Common Council meeting. Committee of the Whole discussion last week was to have included all proposed amendments in writing. Alderman Sandy Winder had suggested she had a few concerns with capital improvement items, but had nothing documented, so those concerns never got attention. Final passage of the spending plan, with an increase going to pay down debt, going to lead to the tax bills going to be generated in about a month. No public comment last night, so no problem for the Caledonia Village Board approving the 2016 budget. That includes a 1.55% levy increase and an 8-cent rise in the tax rate. Owner of a $150,000 home will have village taxes going up about $12. And the Village Board approving a 4-year contract for the collection of recyclables with carts versus bins through John's Disposal Service. Cost to citizens will be $6 a year. And the Racine Unified School Board backs a boundary change for Gifford School as a K-8 facility starting with the 2016-17 year. It uses the same criteria for the existing elementary school to cover the middle school section, which is now under construction. Superintendent Lolly Haas explaining it's a time-sensitive issue because of future planning.
We are starting in December. We always start our staffing and determining how many teachers we need to hire. So if we don't know boundaries and which students, you know, are likely to go to which schools, and it's very difficult to determine how many teachers we need to plan for in certain schools versus other schools.
Dennis Weiser felt that more information was needed about the impact on both Gilmore and Starbuck Middle Schools. He abstained from voting. The rest of the board members supported it. WRJN.com. That's your source for our local news. That's our webpage. We have our newscast there in podcast form. Just find them in the local news section. And at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400, WRJN News.